Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. Winning the Loser's Game by Charles D. Ellis is a classic investing guide that challenges the comforting idea that superior results come mainly from superior forecasting and frequent trading. Written by a veteran of institutional investing and updated in its 8th edition, the book argues that most investors, including many professionals, are playing a loser's game in which the usual tactics lead to self-defeating outcomes. Ellis explains that modern markets are highly competitive, information moves fast, and costs matter. So the typical attempt to outsmart other participants often produces underperformance after fees, taxes, and mistakes. Instead, the book emphasizes a disciplined, long-term approach built around diversification, low costs, and behaviorally sound decision-making. It is as much a framework for thinking as it is a set of practical recommendations, helping readers align goals, risk tolerance, and portfolio construction. The result is a clear case for why simplicity, patience, and process can beat brilliance in investing. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, the loser's game insight and why most investors underperform. Ellis popularizes the idea that investing often resembles a loser's game rather than a winner's game. In a winner's game, points are earned through skillful play. In a loser's game, outcomes are driven mostly by mistakes, and the player who makes fewer errors tends to win. Applied to markets, the argument is that professional competition is intense, information is widely available, and trading is a negative sum activity once costs are included. When many capable participants pursue the same edge, the average active result before costs is roughly the market average, and after costs it tends to be below. The book highlights common sources of unforced errors: overtrading, chasing recent performance, reacting to headlines, and taking uncompensated risks. It also stresses that the market does not offer an easy, stable set of mispricings to exploit consistently. The practical takeaway is not that skill never exists, but that it is rare, difficult to identify in advance, and often overwhelmed by fees and poor timing. For most individuals and institutions, the better objective is to avoid self-sabotage and capture the market return efficiently through a disciplined plan. Secondly, indexing and low-cost implementation as a default strategy. A central theme is that low-cost, broadly diversified index investing provides a strong baseline that most alternatives struggle to beat. Ellis argues that indexing is not settling for average results, because the market return is itself a powerful engine when compounded over decades. The main enemies of compounding are high fees, taxes from turnover, and decision errors that cause investors to buy high and sell low. Index funds and similar vehicles seek to minimize these drags by keeping expenses and trading activity low. The book also clarifies that indexing is a strategy, not a product, and can be implemented in multiple ways across asset classes, including domestic and international equities and bonds. Readers are encouraged to focus on what can be controlled: costs, diversification, rebalancing discipline, and appropriate risk exposure. Rather than searching endlessly for the next manager or hot sector, the investor can spend time improving financial planning, savings behavior, and portfolio resilience. In this framing, indexing becomes a practical tool for turning market efficiency into an advantage, allowing the investor to keep more of what markets broadly provide. Thirdly, asset allocation, diversification, and the role of rebalancing. Ellis emphasizes that the most important portfolio decisions are structural: how much to allocate to stocks versus bonds, how widely to diversify, and how to maintain that structure over time. Asset allocation drives much of the long-run experience of risk and return, so it should reflect the investor's goals, time horizon, and ability to tolerate volatility. Diversification is presented as both risk management and humility, an acknowledgement that future winners are hard to predict consistently. The book supports building portfolios that avoid concentration in a few names, sectors, or themes, and instead capture broad market exposure. Rebalancing plays a key operational role. Markets move, so a portfolio that begins at a chosen mix will drift, sometimes becoming riskier after extended equity gains or overly conservative after declines. A disciplined rebalancing policy restores the intended risk level and can systematically encourage buying relatively depressed assets and trimming those that have run up. Ellis treats rebalancing as a process decision rather than a forecasting exercise. Done thoughtfully, it can reduce behavioral mistakes, improve consistency, and help investors stay aligned with long-term objectives even during stressful market periods. Fourthly, behavioral discipline and avoiding the temptation to act. One of the book's most practical contributions is its focus on investor behavior as the decisive battleground. Ellis underscores that the urge to do something is often strongest at exactly the wrong times, after markets fall sharply or when a fashionable story dominates the news. In those moments, fear and greed can override a carefully designed plan. The book encourages readers to build systems that make good behavior easier, such as automating contributions, adopting simple diversified holdings, and setting clear rules for rebalancing and risk changes. It also warns about the emotional appeal of predictions, market commentary, and short-term scorekeeping, all of which can lead to unnecessary trading and regret. The discipline described is not passive inattention, it is active commitment to a strategy that already anticipates uncertainty and volatility. Ellis also points to the value of patience, because the benefits of compounding and the equity risk premium reveal themselves over long periods, not months. By reframing success as sticking with a sound process, the investor can reduce anxiety, make fewer costly errors, and turn time into an ally rather than a source of constant pressure. Lastly, selecting active managers and using advice with realistic expectations. While the book strongly favors indexing for most investors, it also addresses the reality that many will still consider active management or seek professional advice. Ellis provides a pragmatic lens. If you choose active, understand the odds, define what counts as success, and evaluate the full costs and constraints. Manager selection is difficult because past outperformance may not persist, and popular managers can face capacity challenges that dilute their edge. The book encourages skepticism toward marketing narratives and emphasizes careful due diligence, including examining fees, turnover, investment process, risk controls, and how returns were achieved. It also suggests that the true value of an advisor often lies less in picking winning securities and more in planning, tax-aware implementation, behavioral coaching, and keeping the investor aligned with long-term goals. In that sense, advice can be an important source of added value even if market-beating returns are rare. Ellis frames active management as a specialized choice that should be justified by clear comparative advantages and a willingness to endure periods of underperformance. For most, the recommended approach remains to keep the core of the portfolio efficient and to treat any active component as carefully limited and thoughtfully monitored. In conclusion, this book is best for individual investors who want a clear, durable framework, professionals who need a reality check on how competitive markets work, and anyone tired of chasing predictions that rarely pay off. Readers who are early in their investing journey will learn how to start with the decisions that matter most, while experienced investors will benefit from the reminder that simplicity and discipline often beat complexity. The main life benefit is behavioral and practical. It helps you focus on controllable actions like saving consistently, keeping costs low, diversifying broadly, and maintaining a sensible asset allocation. Those habits can reduce stress, limit self-inflicted losses, and improve the odds of meeting real goals such as retirement security or funding education. Compared with many investing books that promise an edge through stock picking, timing, or clever tactics, Ellis offers a more evidence-aligned approach that recognizes the difficulty of outperforming after fees and taxes. The 8th edition keeps the message relevant for modern markets while reinforcing timeless principles. It is worth buying because it equips you with a decision process you can live with for decades, not a short-lived strategy that depends on being right tomorrow. If you would like to support Charles D. Ellis, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.